How's everybody? Everyone have a book? Okay, good. Those in the very back, you might want to move up a little closer so you don't have to yell, Michael. Yell at us, Michael. But, so we're about to begin tonight. Good to see you all again this week. Just one announcement that has something to do with our evangelism emphasis, but next Thursday morning from 9 to 10, this is for a ladies' event, so only you ladies keep your ears open, but Stephanie Gray, who is a pro-life speaker from Canada, great, great communicator. She spoke to all of the employees, head employees at Google recently, and she's a winsome, unbelievable pro-life speaker. Anyway, she's coming to speak at one of the CMMA events, but we've got a meeting just for our women next Thursday, 9 to 10 in A209. And I think you can find this online, can't you? Yeah, but you need to RSVP with our women's ministry, Laura Franks, lfranks@briarwood.org. But it'll have on our women's page information about her, Stephanie Gray. But it'll be a great, great presentation. So if you get an opportunity, go to that next Thursday. And why don't I pray for us and then I'll turn it over to Bobby. Father, again, thank you for our time together tonight. You are so good and loving and merciful to us, and we're grateful that you have called us to yourself and that we've been able to enter into the most incredible, intimate relationship with you, the God of the universe and the Savior of our souls. And so, Father, we pray tonight again that you would guide Bobby as he speaks to us, that you'd open our minds and hearts, and that we would understand even more clearly the power of the gospel, and then the power of engaging lost people through the power of the Holy Spirit in love and conversations, and trusting you to work mightily through those in all of our efforts. And we commit all of this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good evening. Glad to have you back.
I heard the story of a young man who was working at a bank. Somebody needs booklets. Benny will give you booklets. All right, we'll try this a third time. Young man was working at a bank, and he heard that the founder of the bank, the old CEO, was retiring. So he decided he would try to... Benny, you want to turn that thing down a little bit? It seems a bit loud. He wanted to get advice from the retiring banker as to how to be successful. So he made an appointment. He went to see him, and he said, "Sir, before you retire, I'd like to know, what is your secret to success?" And the man said, "Just two words, good decisions." And he wrote that down in his little book. And he thought a minute and he said, "Can I ask you another question? How did you know to make good decisions?" And he said, "Just one word, experience." So he wrote that down. And then he said, "Can I ask you another question? How did you get experience?" And he said, "Just two words, bad decisions." In other words, we do learn by experience, don't we? And so as we introduce tonight, getting you hopefully involved in actually talking to people about spiritual matters, don't expect to do everything perfect. And remember, we said there's nothing to memorize here, so there's no perfect anyway. It's just having conversations with people. And so you can relax. You're not being graded. And you will find that God is really, really is in control. And He is the one that's working in people's hearts. And He will work at His pace, at His rate, the way He wants to. And so we can relax and trust Him. So let me ask a question that will help us tonight. How many of you, this is your first time here? You weren't here? Okay. All right. Not too many, but a few. All right. How many of you had a chance to listen to last week's online already that are new? Any of you? No. Okay. So you'll have to catch up somehow. Go back and listen to last week's, which was very introductory. So last week. All right. So we gave out two articles last week. One was on the sovereignty of God and soul winning, and the other one was on when a question is better than an answer. Anybody like to make any comments or raise any questions about those two articles? I'm sure you all read them, but who would like to comment on them or ask a question about them? Anyone? Is your memory as bad as mine? You read it and you can't remember what it was about. You're looking at it quickly. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. The first one, the one on what?
I think in just reading through the first ones, you know, the issue is that you're seeing just a couple of words. What, how, and where.
Yeah.
When we tend to want to ask, well, did you? Or, well, you know, we want to get a response of yes or no. That's what we have the tendency to do.
Yeah.
So this is asking us to expand our vocabulary a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you start practicing that, I still revert back to the did you or do you.
Yeah.
So it, like you said, experience.
That's actually a good observation, because a lot of the older evangelistic presentations are just asking for yes or no. Do you believe this? Do you agree with that? And we're trying to get people to actually share and reveal what's going on in their minds and hearts, what they're really thinking, and then going. So that's a great observation. Yes, sir. Benny's got a mic for you. Just because we're recording this, for people who listen to the recording, it'll help to hear what you say.
I just thought it was interesting that the pressure can be removed when you're sharing with someone, because God's really the person that has to change their heart, and you're not being rejected. The gospel is being rejected, and he's sovereign, and he's going to do the work, and we just have to share.
Yeah. Amen. Very good. That's what that article is about, so I'm glad you got that. All right. Anybody else? All right. Well, let me just say that tonight we're talking about beginning conversations, and we're going to talk about this word what in just a minute, so I won't belabor that. But here are Benny's email addresses, Benny and my email addresses. A lot of times we're, as I said last week, to those of you who are new, we don't expect you to take a lot of notes here. We'd really, really prefer you just listen to try to understand the concepts that we're talking about. And if there's anything that we do say that you wish you had had in writing, or that we put up on the PowerPoint that you wish you had, we're happy to email all that to you. Okay? So all you need to do is email us and we'll get it to you as quick as we can, usually within the hour. And we'd be glad to do that rather than you trying to write down everything that we say here. Okay? So let's look at the overview for tonight. And the key word for tonight is what. We're going to begin to learn the art of bridge building by asking questions and listening to understand what the person believes. And so that's a key idea of tonight, is just learning to ask more than a yes or no answer question so that we can find out what a person believes. And you'll be surprised how much people like to give you their opinions on things. And so it's not as hard as you might think to get people to talk and give you their opinions, because they tend to like to do that, especially if you ask it in a non-confrontational way, which we're going to talk about. All right. So that's part of tonight. And then the second point there is that this is about connecting relationally with people and exploring their beliefs. Let's just go back there. Too often in evangelism, we're really quick to want to give our beliefs, tell people what we think. And there's a time for that. But in our culture today, people get put off a lot of times when we just launch right into telling them what we think they need to believe. And so it's very important that we first learn to listen to their beliefs, understand what it is that they're saying. And one of the best ways to learn about different views that people have is by asking. Sometimes people will say to me, I'm going to talk to this friend who's a Muslim. What book would you recommend I read to understand Islam before I go talk to them? Or this book, I'm going to talk to my neighbor who's a Hindu. What book would you recommend? And my recommendation is, don't read any of those books. Just go talk to the person and ask them questions. Because you may read a book on Islam or Hinduism which defines it really well, but the average Muslim doesn't know what their religion believes. That's a fact. I was at a seminar back in November that a man taught whose full-time ministry is in the Middle East working amongst Muslim people. And he said most of them go through the motions of their religion and they don't understand the nuances of their own theology. And so the fact that you've read a book on Islam, you may know more about their theology than they do, because they haven't bothered with it. They just go through the motions. That's what they have to do. They don't have to understand it. They just have to kneel down and do the prayers five times a day and do this and this and this. And so to find out what that Muslim believes, you have to ask him or her. To find out what that Hindu believes, you have to ask them. And so the best thing that you can do is simply start asking them about their beliefs. I've got a friend in another state that I see from time to time who comes from a Muslim background. He moved here when he was about 20 from another country. And he doesn't understand his own religion. He's a great guy. We get along real well and we have discussions. I'll talk to you more about that later, because he's one of the ones that I've been in discussion with. But he doesn't really understand his own religion very well. And that's just typical of the way it is. All right, so let's look at our objectives for tonight. The first is to start having spiritual conversations. We're going to hopefully get you started by giving you some information and ways to do that. And then to begin to learn what people believe. And then the other objective is to have a second conversation. We kind of talked about this last week, but in Acts chapter 17 and verse 32, this is when Paul is talking in Athens at Mars Hill. And it says, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, we will hear you again about this. And that's what we're aiming for in our first conversation that we're going to have. Hopefully you're going to have it in this next week. We're going to give you some questions to ask, and hopefully you're going to have your first conversation with someone on this subject. And the objective of the first one is to have a second one. We want them to want to hear from you again to have another conversation. So that's what we're aiming for as part of our objective tonight. And then 1 Peter 3:15, you may remember Pastor Rita preached on this a couple of months ago. It says, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason, for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. So those two words that are underlined is really a major emphasis of this training. We want to learn to deal with people with gentleness and respect. This is not like one of those crossfire type TV programs where people try to out yell the other person to get the, you know, to get the mic. We want to learn to listen to people, show respect by really listening to them. And sometimes that's painful because they want to talk a long time. But we listen. And then with gentleness, we learn how to correct them and to show them the truth. So that's what we're aiming for. You know, there's a lot more to communication than just words. I heard a story of a fellow whose wife went to England, and this was in the days of telegrams. Some of you still remember what those were. And she sent him a telegram saying that she'd found this very expensive item of art that she was interested in buying. And he texted her back four simple words: no expense too great. Think about it. All she had was those words on a piece of paper. And so she bought the item. But what he meant was, no expense too great. You know, don't buy that. You know, so words can mean different things. What did she think he meant? For you, darling, no expense is too great. That's not at all what he meant. So there's a lot more to communication than just words. And so we want to learn to deal with people with gentleness and respect. James 1:19 says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Now, that's not easy. And one of the reasons it's not easy is that in our culture today, people often make statements which are specifically attacking Christians. That includes me and you. You know, so they're making statements that are intended to be inflammatory. And sometimes they say things about Jesus which are not only untrue, but very unkind. My own father-in-law used to refer to Jesus as a barefoot Jew who was no more God than me or you. That was the terminology that he would use to refer to Jesus. And so we need to learn to self-control. Well, that's the good news is the Holy Spirit gives us self-control. So we can expect God to help us have self-control. But we need sometimes to have self-control and just not take the bait and jump on everything that people say. We need to learn to ignore a lot of the little jabs and comments that people make when we're having conversations with them. As a wise person told me one day, pick your battles. Don't argue every point. What is the main things that you're trying to talk to them about and get to that rather than getting off on tangents? Now, another verse that I want to share with you, I'll get to in just a moment, but let me preface it by telling you a story. When I was at Mississippi State University as a student, there was a guy that was in the dorm with me, one of my buddies. And one night he came up to me during the dinner, I guess it was, and said, after dinner, let's get together and argue about evolution. And I said, sure, Jim, let's do. And so I ate my food. I went to my room. He came to my room and we had an argument. I mean, it was not a gentle and respect type of discussion on either side. We were arguing with each other. He was sort of an agnostic type of a guy. And so we were arguing back and forth. And I guess we weren't getting anywhere. But anyhow, we're having this argument. And the guy who had led me to Christ and would have been discipling me, another student named Larry, came by to pick me up to go to a meeting that I had agreed to go to later in the evening. And he walked in the room and heard what was going on between me and this guy, Jim. And he just very calmly kind of entered the conversation. And Jim was about the time Larry came in, Jim was yelling at me to quit reading from the Bible because it was an antiquated book that didn't make any sense. And, you know, it's a lot of nonsense and blah, blah, blah. He was saying about it. And so Larry just calmly turned over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and read. He said, "You know, Jim, it says right here that the natural man, that is a person without Christ, doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him." So, of course, since you're not a Christian, of course you would think the Bible is foolish because that's what it says you would think. And so he said, "But we need to go now. We've got a meeting to get to. If you want to, we could talk about this later." And he just very calmly ended the discussion and we went out. And I'm thinking, yeah, he really put him in his place. Until we got in the car. And then he turned to this verse in the Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul instructs his disciple Timothy, "The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil." And he asked me, does that description fit me and the way I was carrying that conversation on? Well, of course, none of it did. And then it goes on to say, correcting his opponents with gentleness. There's that word again, with gentleness. I wasn't doing that. And it says, "God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will." So notice, even though we have to correct people, and we do that, he says, with gentleness, only God can grant them repentance. We can point out where they're wrong, but that's not necessarily going to change them if God doesn't work in their hearts and give them that gift of repentance. And so, yes, we want to be astute. We want to correct people. We want to know what we're talking about. But ultimately, God is the one that's got to work. All right. Next passage of scripture, Proverbs 10:19. "When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent." Now, there's a couple of things I have in mind with this verse. The first and the one that came to me initially was that when my words are many, I'm going to end up transgressing. I'm going to end up saying stuff that maybe I shouldn't say in one of these conversations. But my brother Benny, who's much wiser than me, pointed out that when words are many, transgression is not lacking. That when we are asking people questions and we're letting them give their views, we will discover things about their views and we will discover inconsistencies in their views if we will listen enough. In other words, they'll be the ones that are often making the mistake if we're willing to listen to what they have to say. And then I want to remind you of last week, the key passage of scripture that we spent some time on was 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. And I won't go through it again, but just to say that was the passage where Paul says to the Corinthians, "I planted," meaning I planted a seed, a gospel seed in you. "I planted, Apollos watered," he came along and watered that seed, "but God gave the growth." And he went on and repeated that again and talked about it a little bit more. But the point is, we want to remember that God is the one who converts, not us. We share the truth, but God is the one who actually converts people. And so it's a process that's similar to the growth of plants. So most of you have probably either planted something in your life or seen someone else do so. So you don't, I think all of you know that you don't go out and plant a seed and the next day come out and say, "Where's the fruit?" It takes time, doesn't it? It takes time for the fruit to germinate and eventually grow. One of the interesting tidbits that we learned when we were in Africa is, a lot of coffee is grown in Africa, mainly East Africa, Kenya, Tanzania, those kind of places. And my understanding is that the coffee tree is actually a shrub, but that's neither here nor there. But it looks like a tree, but it's more of a shrub. But it doesn't really yield its full fruit until the 6th year after you planted it. So it's a long-term investment to grow coffee because you plant all these trees and then you hope they don't get chopped down or burned down or something else. But only 6 years later are you going to get a crop. Whereas you can plant something like a peach tree, which I did when I lived in Johannesburg, and I was getting peaches the next year. And so it's a very big difference. They're different. Well, in a similar way, people are different. And God is the one who is working in people. So we plant a seed or somebody else has already planted the seed and we come along. We can't just expect that the fruit is going to be ripe just because we happen to come along and start talking to people. We need to learn to ask some questions so that we find out where they're at. We talked about that a little bit last week when we looked at the chart that I put up, the Rainer scale, and just keep that fixed in your mind. It's in your booklet back on one of the pages towards the back. Keep that thing in your mind. In fact, what page is that on, Benny? Do you know? 15? 18. If you weren't here last week, you might want to turn over there and look at that real quickly, that scale. It shows that there are some people who are very close to the gospel. That's over on the left, the U5, unevangelized, unchurched 5. And then there's the different levels of openness until you get to the one that's wide open. And what we're trying to get at in this course is to, when we first start talking to people, is to ask questions enough to figure out where they fit on that scale. Then we know where to go with them from that point on. So that's an important part. Now, some people have asked me as I've taught this over the years, what about the scripture in Romans where Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Is this a real approach where you're ashamed to share the gospel? You're afraid to share the gospel with people? And the answer to that is no, not at all. It's not a watered down approach. It's not that we are just going to be friends with people. I think Pastor Reeder has covered this very well in his sermons on this series since the new year started, is that it's not our life that converts people. Hopefully our lives are lived in a way that honor Christ and would not turn people away from Christ. But it's not us and it's not our life that's going to convert people. And so we're not just talking about being friends with people. We do want to get into gospel truth. We want to share the truth with them. And I certainly am not ashamed of the gospel. I've been involved in evangelistic ministry for decades and love talking to people about Christ. But what I have learned over these years is that timing is important in what we say and when we say it. In fact, next week, to me, the highlight of the course, we have someone coming in that we're going to interview who's been using this method for several years. I taught this in his Sunday school class one time, and he's just got some great stories, real life stories to illustrate how he's doing this. And Benny just had lunch with him today, and one of the things that he told Benny was some of the things he's been talking about to this atheist recently. And Benny's question to him was, "Would you have used those statements or those questions 6 months ago?" He said, "Oh no, you know, that'd be the end of the conversation." But now he can, because they have been having discussions. And so timing is a very important part of this. And the other thing that I have discovered over the years is that if God is not working in a person to bring them into a relationship with Him, all the talking in the world that we do is not going to help. You know, you can share the four spiritual laws with them today and the EE3 presentation tomorrow and the Bridge to Life the next day and Billy Graham's Steps to Peace with God the next day. If God is not working in that person, those things are just going over their head. It's like talking to a brick wall. And so we've got to find people in whom God is working. We started a ministry to businessmen in Cape Town when I lived there years ago. And the very first week of that meeting, we met a few times as a core group. And I had a group of Christian businessmen. And we talked about how we were going to do this. And the whole idea was we were going to invite some non-Christian men. And we were going to have a short talk for about 10 minutes on some subject related to them. And then we were going to sit around the tables we were meeting at the Hard Rock Cafe. And we would discuss that topic, and then they could go. No pressure, just have a discussion. But my intention was to introduce myself to the non-Christian men as they came in. And then if they came back, if they were interested enough to come back again, then I would say to them, "Hey, let's get together for lunch or breakfast or something and have a talk." And so the very first meeting that we had where we invited non-Christians, there was a guy named Mark there. And Mark came up to me after the meeting and said, "You know, I've never been to anything like this." Well, we've never done anything like that, so that's not surprising. But he said, "I've never been to anything like this. That was really interesting. You and I should get together and talk about spiritual things sometime." And I wanted to say, "That's my line." But since he raised it, I said, "Okay, let's do that." So we met the next week, and we talked. And he was asking questions, so I said, "Look, maybe one of the best ways I can make this clear to you is this." And I pulled out the little Four Spiritual Laws booklet. I read through it with him. I answered his questions, explained it to him. At the end of it, he said, "I don't think I've ever heard this in my life." He said, "You know, I hadn't been to church since I was about 5 years old." He was 30 at the time. And he said, "This is all new to me." He said, "I need to think about this." I said, "Sure." And he said, can I have this little booklet? I want to show it to my wife, see if she's ever heard this. And I said, sure, take it. So he did. Took it to her, read through it with her. They talked about it. And he came back the next week. And he kept coming and he kept coming. And after about 6 weeks, he called me up and said, I made a commitment to Christ. God was working in this guy's life. And it was obvious he was so hungry to understand what it was all about. And as a result, he went on and led his wife and his mother and his sister to Christ. So it was really, really exciting to see what God did. So we're not afraid of sharing the gospel. We are just trying to find the right timing to do that. In Proverbs 15:23, it says, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. An apt answer. Part of that is timing, knowing the right time to say things. So I'm going to go through some points with you now, which are not in your notebook. And again, I probably won't give you enough time to write them all down because they're long. If you want them, we'll send them to you. But here, this is sort of the main points that we want to get over tonight. Here's the first one. Tonight, we want you to begin learning the art of how to ask questions to reveal the beliefs of others and to connect relationally. And these next two words are key, without telling what you think they need to know. This could include their hurts, their fears, their views on current events or theology or church. In other words, whatever they want to share with you. And so here's how this helps us, we believe, in relating gospel truths to them better. In one of the books that we've listed in your little booklet called Get Real, he talks about giving a testimony to a person. Well, some of you, if you're like me, you've been through a campus crusade training or campus outreach training or, you know, EE training, whatever, where you were trying to give a testimony. I was trying to give a 3-minute testimony. And that testimony was about my salvation. Well, if I'm talking to a person right now, that there may be times when that's appropriate to tell them. But, you know, that's something, my salvation testimony, how God brought me to faith in Christ, that happened now 46 years ago, 47 years ago. I'm losing track. It's a long time ago. And it would be legitimate for that person to say, well, what's God done in your life in the last decade? You know? And so a lot of times what I want to share with them is not just my salvation testimony, but I want to share with them something of how God is working in my life now. But even more than that, I want to share it. I want to share it in such a way that it relates to them. So, for example, we will be going on a mission trip to the Dominican Republic. In fact, we have 3 of them coming up. And sometimes I'll be sitting there and the patient has been seen by the doctor, and then the patient will come to me. I'm in the little evangelism station. And I'll notice that it's some young guy and he's wearing a Baltimore Orioles shirt or a New York Yankees shirt. And he's a fit looking guy. What am I guessing? He's interested in baseball. In fact, it's the national sport in the Dominican Republic. And so here he's wearing this shirt. He looks fit. So I'll ask him, do you play baseball? And we'll start talking about baseball. You see, I played baseball. Wasn't too good, but I played. And so I can relate to him. OK. And so then when I give my testimony, I might share something about what God did in my life through my involvement in sports. Well, then he moves on and the next patient comes and it's a middle-aged woman and she's got 2 kids with her. I'm not going to talk about baseball to her. I'm going to talk to her about some of the stresses of being a parent and being married, because that's something she can relate to. You see, so I'm going to still share a part of my life with her, part of my testimony, but I'm going to do it in a way that relates to where she is at. All right. So this, as it says here on the screen, this is about preparing the ground for and planting seeds. It's about creating conversations and not merely looking for an opening to present a monologue. We're not the only ones teaching this, by the way. In case you're wondering, this is not something novel that Bobby and Benny came up with, and no one else in the world teaches this. There are so many books out there. The longer we're involved in this, the more we find stuff on YouTube, articles in magazines, books. There are a lot of people teaching what we're teaching. And in fact, we're going to bring some of those experts who know more about it and have more experience than us. We're going to bring them to Briarwood. August, is that right, Benny? And so there are a lot of people teaching these things. If you read those books we've got, you'll see that there are a lot of people that are out there teaching these things. And so we believe that God wants us to create conversations with people that will lead to gospel conversations. So that's the whole idea. In the book God Space, which is one of the books in your notes, the author there uses the example of asking questions to some Mormon missionaries who come to his door. How many of you look forward to having Mormon missionaries come to your door? Raise your hand. I didn't see any hands. How about Jehovah Witnesses? You look forward to that one? Most of us don't. And I know I got real convicted about that some years ago. And so I decided the next time one of these comes to my door, I'm going to invite them in, which I did. And we had a 3-month conversation as a result of that. But he tells a story in his book about a way to be a little more disarming in asking questions. And so he says these two Mormon missionaries showed up his door and they started a conversation. And he said, I bet you boys get a lot of doors slammed in your face in this neighborhood, don't you? And they said, well, yes, as a matter of fact, we do. And he said, well, what would make you do something like that? Why would you keep doing this if people keep slamming the door in your face? Well, we really believe. And then they said a little bit about what they believed. And he said, so you're really committed. You really believe this, don't you? Oh, yeah, we really believe this. And he said, well, that's great. And so he wasn't attacking them yet. He was empathizing with the fact that they have this strong belief, and that because of their strong belief, which they're trying to spread, people are slamming doors in their faces and saying all kinds of harsh things to them. And so at one point he says to them, so you're asking me and my neighbors to give up our religious beliefs and rather adopt your religious beliefs? And they said, well, yeah, that's pretty much it. And so he said, so if we do that, if we give up our religious beliefs and we adopt yours, do we have assurance that we'll go to heaven? Well, not exactly. Which was not entirely true, because they don't believe in much assurance of salvation. But they didn't want to say that. But anyway, eventually he got them around to admitting that they didn't have assurance. He said, do you have assurance that you know for sure that if you die today, you'd go to heaven? Well, not really. And so he said, help me out here. I'm trying to understand this. You have to be two of the most committed young men I've ever been around. You really believe in your religion, and you're out here pounding the turf, witnessing to people every day and telling them, and you're not even sure if you're going to heaven. Why should I give up my religion and join yours then? And they said, never thought of it like that. That's an example of the kind of thing we're talking about. Learning to ask questions and help people arrive at some conclusions that they might not like if you just told them. Okay. I was again with that men's ministry that I was telling you about in Cape Town, there was a man named John that came to some of those meetings. He was definitely not a Christian. He had some really foul language. In fact, people complained about the fact that he was at a Christian meeting using such foul language. And I tried to explain to them, but he's not a Christian. What do you expect him to do? But one day we went for lunch, and as we were walking down the street, he said, I guess you asked me for lunch so you could ask me about my spiritual life. And I said, yeah, John, where are you at in your spiritual life? And he said, I'm confused. So I said, well, good, let's unconfuse you. And so we started talking, and we had a conversation that went on for a year and a half before John finally came to faith in Christ. Just a little funny footnote of that. John, that was years ago. John and his wife have now moved to Northern California from South Africa. And I found him through LinkedIn probably a year ago. And so I called him up and we got reacquainted over the phone. We hadn't talked to each other in 15 years. And it was just a fun time just talking to him and hearing what God had been doing in his life. And he said to me, you know, he said, I've gotten into this really good little church out here in California. He said, I'm really learning a lot. He said, they've really set me straight theologically. He said, I used to tell people that Bobby Park saved me. He said, you didn't save me. All you did was share a message with me. Jesus saved me. He says, this church is so good at teaching. He said, you probably never heard of this denomination. It's called the Presbyterian Church in America. I said, I am familiar with it. In fact, I'm now an ordained minister in that denomination. So, you know, God is working at different people at different rates. Mark Lilly, that I told you about earlier, 6 weeks he was coming to faith in Christ. John, year and a half. Okay. All right. So next, certainly we want to be ready to share the gospel and answer their questions if they ask us. But often your goal should simply be to have another conversation with them later. In other words, don't jump too quickly into telling people what you think they need to know just because they've asked you a question. For example, in another of the books on our list called Questioning Evangelism, if you were going to start with any of those books on our list, I would start with that one, Questioning Evangelism. The author points out that in Luke chapter 18 and verse 18, let me just put it up here. Luke 18, 18, it says, a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, I can tell you, when I worked on campus with Campus Crusade, if a person were ever to have asked me such a question, I would just think I had really hit it. I'd struck gold. I mean, they're asking me, that's such a leading question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? I would be all over them, just preach the gospel at them. That's what I'd want to do. But that's not what Jesus did. And if Jesus had done that, we would have had the perfect example of how to deal with this situation. But instead, he might even have launched into the bridge to life. Then we would know which presentation was best. But Jesus didn't do that. Instead, what he did was he asked the guy a question. He said, why do you call me good? So here was the perfect opportunity to launch into his gospel presentation, and Jesus didn't do it. He asked a question. In other words, he was taking a little more time. I'm not saying he wasn't going to, but he was probably trying to see where the guy was at, humanly speaking. And what do we find if we read that whole story? We find the guy was not ready to inherit eternal life. And Jesus' questions brought that out. So what we're talking about here is learning to have some discernment. We're going to have a whole session where we're going to deal with that later in the course. All right, so then the next point here is that we hope this method of asking about their beliefs will lead them to asking about yours, which then does give you the opportunity to have a further dialogue. That's what we're looking for. But keep in mind, the average non-Christian in our country is a bit gun-shy about being told what they need to know and what they need to do. And so even then, we want to learn to be brief with our answers. You know, you listen to a person for a few minutes, they tell you their views, and they say, what do you think? And then you launch into a 30-minute presentation. That's not going to go over real well. So we need to learn to be brief, and we need to learn, even in our answer, to ask more questions, just like what Jesus did. So what I want you to do at this point in time is I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to discuss these two questions that are up on the screen. What questions do you have about this approach to evangelism that you hope will be answered in this study? And as Christians, what are some ways we present ourselves that make it difficult for others to become followers of Christ? So I'm only going to give you a very brief time, but just talk to the person next to you about those two questions. Okay, let's get some feedback. There's a reason for this, besides you getting to know the person you're sitting next to, and that is so that we know what are some of the concerns that you have, because we have 5 more weeks after this. So Beanie's got the mic, so let's record this. How did you answer the first question? What are questions you have about this approach that you hope is going to be answered in this study? Someone want to share something?
Yeah, when you don't pull out scripture like you all do, you and Bobby do, you know, when scripture comes to you sort of slow, down the road somewhere you're going, you know, have to fill in with some scripture verses. You know, we were just talking about that. You can be uncomfortable in the situation if you can't pull up scripture, you know, and come back to somebody about it. But I'm sure,
yeah,
you know, we're going to get to some point where we can.
We are going to deal with that. What to do when you don't know what to say and you can't remember the scriptures? Yes, we're definitely going to cover that. So, good. Thank you. Somebody else? Yes, there you go. Beanie, right next to you.
Most of the people that I know that aren't saved are highly intelligent people. And if they're bringing something to me that they believe it because they've done quite a bit of research. They've read the studies and things like that. And sometimes I find that difficult to combat. Mm-hmm. I know that their study is wrong, but I don't know how to prove that it's wrong.
Okay, good. Thank you. We're not going to answer those now. We're just getting your responses.
I have the similar question because when I usually deal with high educated people, they think they know what I'm talking about. They just say, "And you are stupid, you know, no God." And science can prove some. You prove, use science to prove what you believe. So that's the question, yeah, I always facing.
Good, good, yeah. What else? All right. Well, let's go to the next question then. What are some of the ways we present ourselves that make it difficult for other people to want to follow Christ? Anybody got a comment on that one?
She said too arrogant.
Too arrogant?
Okay.
Yeah.
No. Well, I didn't say this last time. I'm remedial. This is my second time through. But this is kind of one of my little soapboxes. But I think when we come across politically one way, and people that can just turn people off so much, and not that, I mean, we all have a right to vote, we have a right to believe the way we do, but not all Christians vote a certain way. And I think we need to be loving and open to that, because that turns people off very quickly.
Great point. Philip Johnson wrote a book, Reason in the Balance, and he talks about that. You can't let people put you in a straitjacket, back in a corner, and fix you in one place. Good.
Yeah, over here, Benny.
I think one trap is just to present ourselves with a label Christian, mm-hmm. and people don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be better if we were a little bit slower in presenting that label, or let them bring it up and then ask them what it meant to them.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sometimes labels are misunderstood. Okay?
I think sometimes we are so polite and so reserved that that's interpreted as weak and needy, and use religion as a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a negative. They can see us as what we think is maybe humility, but they interpret it as weak and needy. So why do they want to be, you know, weak and needy when they're strong?
All right.
Did y'all hear the interview with Kathy Lee Gifford when she was talking to Megan, what's her name, Kelly or something? And she was so enthusiastic and so happy. And I think sometimes if we are happier and more enthusiastic and more fun for people to be around us, then they want to know want kind of what we have more.
Yeah.
Anyway. Now you're speaking his language. He's teaching a course on happiness.
I just finished teaching a course on the book Happiness. All right, let's move on just for the sake of time here. And the fourth point that I wanted to make here tonight is that this approach of questioning and listening is to be seen as preferable to opening the conversation with telling what they need to hear before we ask. It is too easy to do that. And I need three volunteers. Actually, I need four, but I've appointed one. I need three volunteers to come up here and help me. It's going to be real painless. But come on, Gordon, come on, man. Come on, somebody. I need two more, okay? Come on, let's see. All right, you can be number one. Come on, come on. Now, come on, come on. One more. I need one more. Come on, somebody, quickly. David, okay, come on. Okay, well, you, that's fine. Great. Okay, so all you got to do is you got to read your part. You're volunteer. All of you are the volunteer, right? So you're reading the part in red, and I'm going to do the other part. And I'm just looking for my notes, my copy of the notes here. Hang on. So these are stage things, but they're trying to illustrate a point. So just pay attention, all right? So you need to stand right there by the mic so people can hear. All right, so how are you today?
Oh, not too good. I just lost my job, and we just bought a new car, and payments are kind of high, and I'm not real sure where we're going to get the money to pay for the car.
Hmm. Well, I have good news and bad news. What would you like to hear first?
Probably some good news.
All right. Well, the good news is that Christ has paid for all our sins. He is a great Savior. There's bad news, and that the bad news is that we're sinners. We're worse than we ever could imagine. And so there's good. So I'm going to stop right there. But if I was now doing a traditional approach, I would just go right on through my gospel presentation. You can sit down. Okay. All right. Number two. Hey, do you have a few minutes to talk?
I'll talk with you about anything except religion. So what are you going to talk about?
Well, I have good news and bad news. Which would you like to hear first? Hey, what's going on?
Well, my boyfriend and I just broke up.
Well, I have good news and bad news. Which would you like to hear first? Hey, could I talk to you about spiritual things?
Well, I'm a Buddhist, and I don't believe in heaven or hell, so what do you want to talk about?
Well, I have good news and bad news. Which would you like to hear first? Okay, that's a caricature, and certainly no evangelism training has ever been quite that extreme. But I was taught at one time to ignore people's questions and just plow on through my gospel presentation and say, we'll get to that later. And so we don't want to do that. We want to actually deal with people where they're at, what's going on in their lives, and take them seriously and not just have a presentation that we're ready to launch into. All right. So I think you can see that in this. All right. So most weeks we're going to do some kind of a workshop. And that involves you. And so we're getting ready to do a workshop in just a moment. So let me explain what it is. If you'll look in your book, your booklet on page 7. You see on page 7 of your booklet, there are three questions. You see those? What do you think is wrong with the world and how do we fix it? How do you personally decide what is right and wrong and what motivates you to do right? And how can we as a society determine what is true? Now, those are the questions that we're actually going to give you an assignment to go and ask someone during this next week. So we're going to let you practice that. You know, it's always good in training to practice in a controlled environment with friendly people before you go out in the real world. And so we're going to let you pair up in just a moment and practice asking those questions and listening, really listening to their answers. OK, but I just want you to know that this practice is practicing what you're going to be doing. OK, so just keep that in mind. So what we're going to do is I'm going to have you pair up. I would like you to pair up with someone of the same sex. And then I would like one of you to be the Christian and ask those questions and the other person to be the other person who answers the question. And you can answer any way you want. OK. And then after a couple of minutes, I'll tell you to swap and we'll switch around. And the person who was not the Christian will then ask the questions and the other person will respond. And you can answer them however you could answer the way you really believe, or you can answer the way you've heard somebody else answer a similar question, or you can answer the way you think people might answer those questions. It doesn't matter. You can answer any way you want. But the Christian's job is to listen as well as they can and then to move on to the next question when you think it's appropriate to move on to the next question. Sometimes you have to ask a clarifying question on the first question because you're not sure you understood what they said. That's OK. But that's all you're allowed to do is ask questions. You're not allowed to give your opinions. OK. And so that's what we're going to do is we're going to have you. So one of you be the Christian, ask the questions. The other person will answer in any way you want. So there's your instructions. Any questions about the assignment? All right. Pair up quickly with someone of the same sex and go through these and then we'll get some feedback. Let's draw to a close here. Yeah, let's get your attention because we want to end in the next few minutes. Having asked those questions, I know this is just a practice, but having done that, does that raise any issues in your mind about how to go about asking those questions, introduce them, or anything like that? Any questions or concerns about it at this point? Number three? Exactly. You don't know what they're going to say. Well, good. I'm glad you raised that because you're not going to respond. And that's part of this exercise. You're going to only listen. You're not going to respond. So don't worry about what they say. That's very hard. It's very hard. Yes, ma'am. Right. How do you get to it? We're going to talk about that in a minute when we get to the assignment. I'm glad you raised that. Yes. Yes. We're gonna cover that in a minute too. Okay. Okay. So it's raising the same kind of issues that we had thought it would raise. Okay. Anything else? It's hard to play the role of a non-Christian. Well, you think that's something? The last time we did this, we had a different workshop that we'll do later in a few weeks, and someone had to play the role of a Christian who was brought here by a guy, and the guy that was playing the role of the Christian was an atheist. So that was fun. All right. So, Cindy, would you come up here for a moment? And you can just stand here at this mic. So Cindy didn't pass last time. And I don't know about you. You know, you guys may fail this course, you know. There's no pass or fail. I'm joking. I hope you know that. But Cindy decided to come back and do it again. But I remember after we gave these assignments last time that she started sending me emails about conversations she was having with people. So I want you to understand how easy this is actually to do this. So just tell us maybe about one of the early conversations you had early in the course last time, how you got into it with a person.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the people that I asked the three questions of is somebody at High Quiz. We actually hiked together last night after work. One of the persons that I asked was someone I hiked with. So I see her pretty often. And I just said I was taking a class and that I had three questions. I just wanted to get her opinion. So we went through and she gave me pretty detailed answers. And then actually like a week or so later, I was reading the book Boundaries by Henry Cloud and John Townsend, and she has a stepdaughter who's having a lot of problems. So I was talking to Beanie about that, or Bobby about that, and he said, why don't you see if there's an article about that? So I sent her a link to an article about the book. So she read over that, and we kind of discussed that. So we've had some, you know, just ongoing discussions.
Okay, just hang on a second. To answer your question, we're not talking about walking up to some stranger on the street. We're talking about, remember last week we asked you to start praying about your top five? Five people you already know or that you are in some kind of relationship with, maybe at the gym or whatever they, you know, that you can get into a conversation with without it being unusual. So here was a perfect example of someone she already knew. They hiked together. That's the ideal kind of person. All right. And then you can just say, I'm in a class. I want to ask you these questions and just listen. Okay. And then you had another
conversation with a younger guy. He's like in his early 40s. We used to be in the same department. He's in another department. So I just called him, and we actually talked on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a little more direct. He's from Wisconsin, doesn't really have a church background. And like when I got to the last question about, you know, how is we as a society determine what's truth, he said, you know, that's really a silly question, you know. And I haven't really gotten back with him, but he's somebody that I'll see. And I can remember him taking, he doesn't go to church, I don't think he and his wife, they have two children. I can remember them going to an Easter egg hunt, and their kids were ready to go hunt Easter eggs. Well, they were doing a gospel presentation, and he was aggravated because his kids were sitting there, you know, wanting to go hunt Easter eggs. So sometimes it's Bobby, same timing is everything.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We had another lady that came to the class last time, and at the end of the first week, she decided to read ahead in the book to see what we're going to do, and she saw those questions. So the next week, before we ever had this week instructions, she went ahead and asked the questions to the hairdresser where she was getting her hair done, and the guy that was dressed doing hair two chairs down overheard her and got so interested, he came over and got involved in the discussion as well. So it's not nearly as difficult as it sounds. All right, Beanie and I are going to do a little demo for you guys that will hopefully answer some of the questions that people sometimes ask. So Beanie's my neighbor. So again, it's not a stranger, someone I already know, and he's out raking leaves. So I go over and I say, "Hey, Beanie, would you mind if I ask you a few questions?"
What kind of questions?
Well, they're important ones about problems in our country and the world.
That's kind of strange and out of nowhere.
Well, sure, I understand. It won't take but a couple of minutes. I'll tell you what. I'll let you know afterwards why I'm asking this. How about if I just tell you the first question, and if you don't want to answer it, no problem, we'll be done.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, so what do you think is wrong with the world, and how do we fix it? That's the first question.
Neighbors coming up while I'm raking my leaves and asking stupid philosophical questions instead of asking, can I help you rake your leaves?
Yeah, I'm guilty. Okay.
Okay, no, okay, that's not what you want me to say. Okay, what do I think is wrong with the world? Well, I think the whole country is so divided. Everybody's against everyone. Nobody talks to anybody. And everybody's just constantly angry. And nobody seems to believe in anything anymore.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing your opinion. Could I ask you the second one?
Now, why are you asking me these questions?
Well, someone asked me in a class that I'm doing to ask these three questions and to listen to people's answers without giving my own opinions. You know, that's hard to do, not to give our opinions. So I just want to hear what you have to say.
What kind of class is that?
It's a class at my church. and we were discussing how so many people are always giving their opinions and never really listening to other people, and we want to learn how to listen when people talk about what really matters.
Well, okay. All right, go ahead.
All right.
That's the next one.
Then the second question. How do you personally decide what is right and wrong, and then what motivates you to do right?
Well, usually just what by my beliefs. I know some people it's their religion, certainly things I learned from my parents growing up, and just, well, really just being using common sense. What was the second question?
The second part was what motivates you to do right.
Oh, yeah. Well, seeing people do wrong and the consequences, then that certainly makes me want to do right. And, I consider myself a hard worker and responsible. And I try to treat people nice and do what's right. And, you know, this world's temporary, but I know that the next one's permanent.
Okay. All right, can I ask you a last question?
Yeah, go ahead.
How can we as a society determine what is true?
We live in a democracy and the majority rules. That's it. I got to go rake leaves.
Okay. If I was a nice person, I'd help you. All right. So, yes, sometimes people may ask you, why are you asking these questions? And those are just a few ways that you could handle it. There's different ways you could do it. But just, you know, the best thing is just to say the honest truth. I'm in a class at my church and we're told to ask these questions and just listen to people's response. And see what they have to say. We want to understand where people are coming from and just leave it there. Now, we're going to ask you in a few weeks to go back to those people and ask some follow-up questions. But for now, we just want you to ask those questions and listen to their answer. Okay, so let's look at the assignment here. It's in, most of this is in your book. It's up on the sheet here. I mean, up on the screen. Okay, so the first thing we want you to do is we want you to call or talk to someone whom you at least know or suspect is not a Christian, all right, with one person this week. You can do more, but at least with one, we'd like to ask you to do that, okay? Second, ask them if you can ask them three important questions, which we've just gone through, and that you're only going to listen to their responses to try to understand and will not offer any opinions. And so we would really encourage you at this point not to engage in a lengthy conversation and get into a debate with them about whatever, but just ask the questions and listen. Learn to listen. Learn to be a listener. We're going to give you a little bit of information about that in a moment. It tells you there if the person is reluctant or asks why do you want to do this, then you can just tell them the sort of thing we've been doing there. All right. And then number three would be to write down their answers or at least a summary after you've talked to them. One of the ladies who did this last time, she said, I knew I'd forget what they said, so I actually called someone on the phone, and that way I could be writing down the answer as they gave them. That's pretty clever, and I've done this with a person over the phone as well, and it was just fine. So you could ask a person in person, or you could ask them over the phone. Either way, okay? And then fourth, afterwards, after you've written down their answers, think through, what could I have said or asked? This gets to your question. Well, what do you say if they say something totally off the wall, and you think, where did that come from? You know, like the first guy I asked this question to, I said, what do you think is wrong with the world? And he said, drugs. Okay. One of my friends who was in this class last time asked a guy next door to her, a middle-aged man, what do you think is wrong with the world? This girl is about 26. And she asked him that. And you know what his answer was? Millennials. We don't know what people are going to say. He was serious. And she said, well, what about before they were millennials? Well, there were other problems, but the big problem right now is millennials. Okay? And so you don't know what people are going to say, and that's okay. You don't have to be ready for an answer. We're going to talk about that in the next few weeks, what to do when people say all kinds of things. All right? So don't worry about not having an answer. We don't want you to give them an answer right now. We want you just to listen. Okay? But afterwards, you might think, okay, when a person said whatever, like this guy said millennials, what might I have said? What would have been a good question to ask further? Think through that. And we're going to talk about how to do that next week. It's a large part of the next 2 weeks is going to be a large part of how to ask those follow-up questions. Don't worry about the fact that you don't know right now. You don't need to. All right. And then come prepared to discuss this. We're going to want you to just share some of your experiences of asking these questions next week. And again, all we're looking for is that you've broken the ice, ask a question, listen to their answer. You may not even get through all three questions. You may, the first time you talk to a person, you may not get past the first question. They may go off for 15 minutes and you run out of time. That's fine. Leave it. I did that with the first guy I asked this question to. It sounds like this is just out of nowhere. We were having dinner together. There were six of us, six adults having dinner. And this man and his wife were saying a lot of negative things about what was going on, all the problems in our country. And so it was a natural question to say, well, what do you think's the biggest problem in our country? It wasn't like I'm coming up with some weird question. He's the one making all the complaints. People love to complain, don't they? So he was complaining. So I said, well, what do you think is the biggest problem with our country? And he sat back and said, well, that's a good question. Let me think about that a minute, you know. And then he gave me an answer. But then he went on and on. And I realized, and I asked him the second question. And I thought, you know, this is getting a bit awkward because we're just asking him questions and everybody else is just sitting and listening. And so I didn't even try to ask him the third question, but I called him on the phone about a week later and I asked him the third question. And he went on for a long time giving me his opinion on those questions. He really wanted to talk about them. So we just want to get you to get your feet wet, get out there and ask questions. Now, these three questions, the thing about these questions, the reason we gave you these questions, these are not the questions you will use the rest of your life to get into spiritual conversations with people. But the reason we chose these three questions is actually they are not necessarily spiritual or religious. An atheist has an opinion about what the problems in the world is. Okay? You don't have to be a Christian or a religious person of any kind to have an opinion on what's the problem in the world. And if you've identified what you think is the problem, well, what should go with that is a solution. But some people haven't thought that far. And so all these questions can be answered by someone in a non-religious way. And so it's not a threatening question that you're asking people. And just listening to their opinions. Okay? Let me pray and we'll close. And if you've got any questions that you'd like to ask Benny or I, we'll be around for a few minutes. Lord, thank you for loving us and giving us the best news ever. And I pray that you'd help us get into spiritual conversations with people that will lead to opportunities to see people coming into the kingdom of God. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.